We're going to continue our walk through the book of Acts this morning, talking about life in the Spirit. Today's the last Sunday in October, the 27th of 2019. It's entitled Stephen's Speech, Take 5. And we're going to cover Acts chapter 7, verses 37 through 53. And why in the world I picked 16 verses? If I had it to do over, I'd do it different. But I think I was thinking after a month of doing the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I was ready to do something else. So my outline is rather large, fills up the whole page. We're going to cover the book of Exodus and Leviticus first, and then we'll cover the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy. And the context note is you should take note that the Sadducees, who only believed in the first five books of the Bible, they're done now. Because when we talk about Joshua through 1 Samuel, they did not accept that as the Bible. 2 Samuel, 2 Chronicles, the Sadducees did not accept that as the Bible. Ezra and Nehemiah, they didn't accept that as the Bible either. And Stephen's conclusion, if I was doing this over, I would have done the first 5 points as a message and the last Stephen's conclusion as a message all unto itself. But here we go. You probably won't get too much time to doodle because I didn't give you much space to doodle today. Stephen knew the Holy Spirit and in and through him wanted the young church to and us to have a condensed message of these scriptures. So let me do that one again. Stephen knew his Bible and the Holy Spirit in and through Stephen wanted the young church and us to have a condensed message from the scriptures. My thought was the new church had people from all over the planet joining it really fast, and God wanted a condensed version of the whole Bible for them to understand because they didn't have Bibles like we did. Everything was oral. So I wonder if you or I were called into court, if our testimony would be as thorough as Stephen's. If you went to court and they asked you to testify in your faith, could you do Genesis through Malachi? When the Holy Spirit and Stephen get to their conclusion, it's powerful, it's painful, and it's lethal. When he draws his conclusion, it'll kill him. And we'll talk about that next week. So, the book of Exodus through Leviticus, Stephen is saying God protected and freed our fathers. That's the essence of what those two books talk about. But their hearts were not responsive to God. And I think we can draw a direct parallel between that. That Jesus has done those first two things, and quite often we can identify with the bottom. Now, I want you to read with me Acts chapter 7, verses 37 to 41. This is the same Moses who spoke to the people of Israel. God will send you a prophet, he said. He will be like me. He will come from our own people, Deuteronomy 18:15. Moses was with the Israelites in the desert. He was with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai. Moses was with our people long ago. He received living words to pass on to us, but our people refused to obey Moses. They would not accept him. In their hearts, they wished they were back in Egypt. They told Aaron, "Make us a god who will lead us. This fellow Moses led us out of Egypt, but we don't know what's happened to him." Exodus 32:1. That was the time they made a statue to be their god. It looked like a calf. They brought sacrifices to it. The end. So Moses goes up on Mount Sinai, and when he goes up there, it's just explosions and fire and lightning and all kinds of exotic stuff. And for 40 days and 40 nights, he's up there on top of the mountain with God. He doesn't eat anything. He doesn't drink anything. And after just 40 days, the people have lost touch with him. They say, "We don't know what happened to him. Let's do something different." Couldn't even wait 40 days. They would fit really well in this impatient culture I live in. Now, A, God will send you a prophet like me. Will send. God will do that. He will send. This pattern of his life is consistent. Stephen is speaking of Jesus. The prophet he's talking about is Jesus Christ, the virgin-born boy of Mary. Jesus, like Moses, will set people free from slavery and deliver them from bondage, giving them freedom. Be on your outline. God gave living words. So he will send and he will give. Those are characteristics of God that you can count on. God has given us his scriptures to reveal to us himself and his plan and purpose for our life. He gave them the Bible. He gave us the Bible so that we could understand who he is. We did that in depth last week. And what is the purpose for this life? It's to glorify him and to seek him. Now, see, but people refuse to obey or accept him. They refuse. They refuse to submit to God. This was true of many in Stephen's day, and sadly, it's still true today. Many people refuse to accept God and to obey God's commands. D, in their hearts, they wish they were, and your blank is really small, and that's because I couldn't put one more line on the page. But I want you to think of something that you think about on a regular basis. I wish I was, Julie would often say, oh, I wish I was pregnant again. I would often say, I wish I was somewhere outside. But in a larger sense, I wish I still had a woman living with me. Right? A lot of people think, oh, I wish I had the car that the neighbor has or the house that the neighbor has. I wish I, for some weird reason, they wished they were back in Egypt, living in the city, living in slavery, than living in the desert. Crazy. This was their main problem. They wished they were someplace else. They wished they were with somebody else doing something else. Jules always wanted to get out of the cornfield, out of the little small town. Every time I took her to live in a big city, she loved it. She always wished she lived in a bigger city. And she would talk about that often. What about you? What is it you wish for in your heart? That's our main problem too. Not living in the moment, not living right now, but wishing it was here. Wishing I was there. Wishing I had this. Wishing it would have went that way instead of this way. Rather than just living in the present with thankful hearts. This is the truth. I don't know. Can you see it? Can you see that was their problem? They wished they were someplace else, had something else, doing something else. Does that fit us? I think in the culture we live in, United States of America, that is exactly why there's so many commercials on television. Oh, I wished I had that iPhone. Oh, I wished I had that. I need one of those. Right? Rather than just being content and thankful for who we are and what we have. So, we could learn from their mistakes. The question is, will we? As we go through this, these people made big mistakes. And God's laying it out. So, number two, we're going to go through Numbers and Deuteronomy. God tested and instructed them. That's the main point of Numbers and Deuteronomy. God will use this same pattern with you and I. God will test you. God will instruct you. If you're humble and obedient, the instruction is easy and simple. If you're stubborn, rebellious, and bullheaded, the instruction is a little more difficult. But he'll test you. He'll test your faith. He'll test your relationship with him, and he'll instruct you. Now, read with me Acts 7, verses 42 through 44. But God turned away from them. He left them to worship the sun, moon, and stars. This agrees with what is written in the book of the prophets. There it says, "People of Israel, did you bring me sacrifices and offerings for 40 years in the desert? You lifted up a place of Moloch was worshipped. You lifted up the star god of Rohan. You made statues and worshipped them. So I will send you away from your country." That's Amos 5, 25 through 27. God sent them to Babylon and even further. Long ago, our people had with them in the desert a holy tent with tablets of the covenant were kept. Moses had made the holy tent as God had commanded him. It was made like the pattern he had seen. The end. So, Moloch is worshipped by infant sacrifice. When you went to church to worship Moloch, somebody bought a baby to be murdered. That's weird church. But really, I don't know if it's that much different than the country we live in, where infant babies are sacrificed all the time to the god of convenience. I don't know how much different it is when you sacrifice a baby through abortion than when you do it on an altar. It's the same thing. You want something different. And the other one, the star god of Rohan, was worshipped late at night after a feast and after a lot of wine with men and women, temple prostitutes. That one, I think I could recruit some people I used to work with at the steel mill. They would join that church. If what you did is you came and ate, drank, and be merry, and then after the stars come out, you split up and went someplace and had sex with somebody. I think I could recruit some of those guys I used to work with to go to a church like that. Now, A, God turned away. He left them to worship what their hearts wished. So we turned and left. Oh, that's a scary thought. God will let you live your life as you desire. That's the bottom line. He'll let you live the life you want. He will not force you into an intimate relationship with him. God never forces himself on anyone. He'll let you do it the way you want to. Honestly, what does your heart desire? What's your heart's desire? B, God gave the holy tent, tablets, the covenant of God had commanded. So he gave them a covenant. He gave them a promise. I will do this. God gave us his holy pattern of living and gave us his promise. So he gave us the law, the Ten Commandments, and he gave us a pattern of worshiping him, and he gave us a promise. So we do not have to do all of that he asked us on our own. He'll help us. You don't have to do it all by yourself. The question is, will we let him? Will we let him help us obey and worship and live the way he wants us? See, people of Israel experienced consequences for the rebellion. That's probably the largest string of consonants involved I'll give you for a while. Experienced consequences. They returned to slavery. They lost their freedom. Could that happen to us? Oh, yeah. It could very easily happen to any one of us, that God would return us to the slavery that we had been in before we were delivered by him. He's not above instructing you in harsh ways. So, number three, we're going to look at the book of Joshua and 1 Samuel. Read with me Acts chapter 7, verse 45. Our people received the tent from God, They brought it with them, and they took it out of Canaan. God drove out the nations that were in their way. At that time, Joshua was Israel's leader. The tent remained in the land until David's time. The end. So, A, God conquered and gave them the land. God conquered all the people in the Holy Land and gave them possession of it. And he did it in a rather fast fashion. One morning I wrote that, and then in the evening I was watching an old cowboy movie, and I felt really bad about what our nation did to the native Indians. We conquered the land, but we were not so very nice to them. And when God conquered the land, he was not so very nice to the people that lived there. They all died. God defeated their enemy. God gave them his promise, and their promise was the promised land. Now, Jesus defeated our enemy, the devil. When he was successful in his sinless life and his death on the cross, a substitutionary death for Adam's sin, our sin, he defeated death and the devil. Jesus sent his Father's promised Holy Spirit just a few days later. This promise is available today. The promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of Jesus being your deliverer, that's available today in ever-increasing measure. That's new to me. In my study of the Holy Spirit, as I've been reading these books and studying these books, if these authors are telling me the truth, and I think they are, in an ever-increasing measure, you can experience the wonder of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in your life. There's more. And if you can wrap your head around this, there is infinitely more. There is no end. It is not something that is ever finished. You can increasingly experience more of God's Spirit, more of intimacy, on an ongoing basis. That's wild, but that's true, I think. B, Joshua was Israel's leaders. So, Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus is our leader. These two men shared the same name. In Hebrew, the name of Joshua, the name of Jesus is exactly the same name. And there's a point behind that. Jesus will return soon in the form of an almighty warrior. Joshua was an amazing commander and an amazing warrior. In his day, the leader of the army did not stay in a bunker like they do today. He was in the front, running forward with his sword and shield drawn. Jesus is going to come on a fiery white horse with a massively big sword really soon and rain judgment on the earth. And it's going to be destruction like Joshua did in the promised land. So, point number four, we're going to cover 2 Samuel and 2 Chronicles. Read with me Acts chapter 7, verses 46 and 47. David was blessed by God. So David asked if he could build a house of God of Jacob. Instead, it was Solomon who built it for him. The end. God met him. There's an easy one to spell. God met him. Conversed with him. Met him. Under his conditions, when they did it his way, they met. Interesting. That's still true today. If we will seek God in his way, his pattern, from his scriptures, he will meet you. That's the real deal. It's his way or not at all. That's the bottom line. You can't do it the way you want to. You have to do it the king's way. But if you will do it the king's way, the king will come reside and live with you, live in you. B, God blessed him. So he came, he met, he blessed. David was a man with a heart for and after God. There's the key word. David's heart from a child was for God. He sought God. And I think a lot of it was all the times he spent out in the pasture with the sheep. He began to experience the glory and the wonder of God in the wide open spaces. David's heart's desire was to experience God. When you read his Psalms, that's the consistent pattern. Let me know you. Let me live in your house forever. Don't take your spirit away from me, but reside with me. That's what he always thought. Now, if that becomes our heart, we'll be blessed just like him. God will bless that. God will bless a heart that seeks him and desires to experience him. Not just your head, not just your mouth, your heart. Now, our point number 5 takes us through Ezra to Malachi. So read with me chapter 7, verses 48 to 50. But the Most High God does not live in houses made by human hands. As God says through the prophet, heaven is my throne, the earth is under my control. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Where my place of resting will be? Did my hand make all these things? That's Isaiah 66, 1 and 2, and that's the end. Now, A, God communicated with our fathers. Stephen brings that point up several times. He will meet with you. He does want to communicate with you. He wants to relate to you. So, heaven is my throne, and that's a massive place. The earth is under my control. We need to remember that. My hand made all these things. God originally, initially wants us to understand he is the creator. We are the creation. Now, B, God does not live in houses made by human hands. So that blank is human hands. For a short time, God visited a tent. For a short time, he visited the temple. His glory would enter there and inhabit there for a little bit, but then it would leave. Sadly, their hearts of the people grieved him so bad that he left. He would come in all of his glory, excited about relating with the people, but their hearts were far from him, and it grieved him so bad that he left. Here's the truth. The greater the love, the greater the grief. That's true. The more you love someone or something, and when it's gone, the greater the grief. God's love is so vast and so intimate and so amazingly sensitive that at times it hurts him so bad that he has to turn and pull back. See, God's resting place is in the human he made. That's the place God wants to rest, is inside of a human. This has always been the Creator's plan, is that he wouldn't live in a house, a temple, a tent. He would live within Adam and Eve. Can you imagine Eden walking around in perfect harmony with God? You and your wife and Jesus walking around, talking to the animals. They're not afraid of you. They can talk to you. You can talk to the trees. They can talk back to you. Everything is perfect. Relationship, unbelievably intimate. Jesus has made it possible for Dad's promise, the Holy Spirit, to inhabit you. You. His creation. how much of him do you want? That's the thing. Are you good? When I was born again, I received a sealing of the Holy Spirit, and it was really nice and warm and sensitive and comfortable. And then the churches I went to said, oh yeah, you get all of the Holy Spirit when you're born again. That's all you get. There isn't any more. And as I read these books on the Holy Spirit, that's really a doctrine that they've come up with to kind of mask the fact that they are not full of the Holy Spirit like Stephen was, or the people at Pentecost. Because their hearts are hard, their hearts are restrictive to God, the Holy Spirit doesn't inhabit them the way it did them, so they create a doctrine that says, no, you're good. The little bit you got when you got born again, that's all there is. You're good. But I don't think that's right. I don't think that was the truth. I think what we're studying now, what we're reading now, is the truth that there are people who experience an overwhelming lightning flash, unmistakable experience of the Holy Spirit. God often uses fire and water to illustrate his Spirit. In Genesis, Spirit moved across the water. Bush, fire. Pentecost, fire. Those are things that he uses to illustrate the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the deal. You can get as warm or as wet as you wish. I was in the backyard playing yesterday, and it started sprinkling, and I got a little damp. You know, quit doing what I was doing, because it really wasn't raining, but it was enough that things were getting wet. Took a shower, got cleaned up. My big Saturday night was go to town, go to Kroger's, and to go to Menards, and to go to Aldi as my big Saturday night out. But when I went into town, I got soaked going into those stores. I didn't get damp. I almost got as wet as the shower I took before I went to town. So here's the deal. With the Holy Spirit, you can just get a little drizzle. You can get damp. You can get wet. As Denise shared with us the other night, you can jump into the deep end. You can jump into the deep water if you want to. It's the same way with a fire. Oh, that looks nice. You can get closer and warm it, and you can get really close and get hot. That's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. You can get what you wish. You can get as wet as you want. You can get as warm as you want. God's there, and he wants you to be on fire. He hates lukewarm Christians. Out of his mouth. He wants you to be hot. He wants you to be soaking wet. Okay, let's get to Stephen's conclusion here. And Acts chapter 7, I want you to read verses 51 to 53 with me. You people, you won't listen. You are stubborn. You won't listen. You are just like people long ago. You always oppose the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet you didn't try to hurt? Even tried to kill those who told you about the coming of the blameless one? And now you have handed him over to his enemies. You have murdered him. The law was received by the angels, but you haven't obeyed it. The end. I think I read that first one wrong, but I'll get back to that. A, you won't obey. I'm pretty sure when he said it, it wasn't, oh, you won't obey him. I'm pretty sure it was as strong as the Holy Spirit could do. Are we so different? Do we obey? Do you obey? Do you obey what you know? You don't have to obey what you don't know. But do you obey what you do know? B, they were stubborn. You're a stubborn, bullheaded, hard-hearted people. Stiff-necked, he called them. Are we so different? Are you stubborn? Are we stubborn? Sadly, this is me. Growing up in the home I was, stubborn and bullheaded was a German characteristic that was behavioral modification taught to you. You are stubborn. You are bullheaded. You hold your ground at all costs. You don't cave. That's how I grew up. That's these people. They were stubborn. They didn't want to change. They wouldn't change their heart's desire. See, they won't listen. You won't listen. Is this true of us? We won't listen. Do we stop to be still and listen? In your prayer time, what portion of the time is quiet, still, no noise, no music? I take my glasses off. Sometimes I sit there and cradle a warm cup of coffee. But just be still and listen. How much do you do? I heard a term the other day, you're listening with your lips. And I thought, that's a different one. And I thought, you know, I think that's the way most people pray. They listen while they're jabbering their mouth. They're not really listening to God. They're just talking. Got my prayer time done. Now I can move on. But you don't stop to be still and listen to Him. Is that true of you? D, they resist the Holy Spirit. Do we resist the Holy Spirit? Do we do that? A.W. Tozier writes, most of us do. Most of us resist the Holy Spirit because in order to receive the Holy Spirit in ever-increasing volume, you need to decrease and diminish the sin and selfishness in your life in just proportion to the other. The more you die to sin, the more you die to self, the more you become alive to His Spirit. And most people will resist that. Oh, no, I'm not giving that up. Oh, no, I ain't changing that. They resist the Holy Spirit. E, they reject the Scriptures. They rejected the Scriptures. Do we respect the Scriptures? One of the things I admire about the Muslim faith is their awesome respect for their Quran. That thing is treated with unbelievable dignity and respect. Most Christians just throw their Bible in the back of the car or the truck and no big deal. In the Jewish faith, the scrolls are amazingly respected. Do you and I respect the Bible? Or do we reject it? Are the Scriptures just another opinion to us? Oh yeah, that's what God says, but that's just another opinion. I mean, it's not any more important than what I think or what I've been taught. It's just another opinion, is what most people think. What I believe is just as important as what he says. Right? Oh no. Oh no. That stuff will get you in a lot of trouble. Respecting the Bible, admiring it, hungering for it, thirsting for it, devouring it in a way that is sweet and savory. You're getting close to David's attitude there. The voice of truth. The other day I heard a Casting Crowns song. I hear all these other voices in my head. And that was my day's experience when I heard that song. I heard all kinds of other ideas in my head. And then I realized, you know, there is that still small voice of truth that speaks to me in a different tone and is always truthful and honest. F, the blameless one has come. Your blank has come. His name is Jesus. His Holy Spirit has come. They bring them with them great gifts. Here's some of them. To the one whose heart is seeking and surrendered. There's the keys. You want to get in? Here it is. Your heart is honestly, intimately seeking, and your life is honestly surrendering to God. Those are the keys that will get you into the kingdom. Now, He'll give you mercy and grace. That's always the starting point. He'll give you righteousness and then forgiveness. Then you'll begin to experience His love and acceptance. Hope, freedom, value, joy, peace. I could go on if you're willing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for allowing Your Spirit to speak through Stephen to this group of people that are so much like the culture that I live in, so much like where I live. Stubborn, bullheaded, arrogant, cocky people who are unwilling to submit themselves to You and Your Spirit. Thanks for summarizing the Old Testament in such a smooth, simple way that you can do it in a matter of minutes. Amazing. Thank You. I know that You're here. And I know the truth is You want to be more involved with us. And You love us so much that when we resist You, it hurts You so bad that You turn and step back a step. I pray right now that we would turn our hearts towards You. The things that You've shown us that our hearts are really in love with more than You, whatever it is, people, places, things, attitudes, actions, we would confess those things to You, and today we would deal with that stuff and invite You to more and more and more and more come and be with us. Thank You, Lord Jesus. None of this would work if it wasn't for You. You are an amazing promised one. Your life is beyond compare. We exalt You and worship You this day. We thank You for sending the promise of Your Father. Thanks, Dad. Now, would we open ourselves up to that gift? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.